Now tonight I'm going to bring you a message that's been on my heart for about a week and a half, 2 weeks. Just been waiting on the right time, the right way to do it. And it's kind of like a little lesson. It's not necessarily a sermon complete. Maybe a Bible lesson on something that everybody here needs, that all of us need. And I'm going to talk to you just a few minutes, give you a lesson on prayer and Bible study. And this is what has come to be known in Christian circles, I guess you could call it, as the quiet time. And every Christian needs to have a quiet time. Now, what we mean when we say quiet time is there needs to be a time for everybody in here that you set apart every day for just you and the Lord. Now, I believe that, and I'm going to show you why I believe that tonight and give you the purpose of it and why, how you, and give you a few suggestions on your own personal quiet time. Our church will never be any more spiritual collectively than the individuals are here tonight individually. You're not going to have a bunch of carnal people and then all come together and have a great spiritual church. But if we got some people in here that walk with God and walk with God every day and try to live right and spend time with the Lord on their knees and in this book every day of their life, then brother, that thing's going to begin to get together, and you get a bunch of people together like that, something's going to happen. There's going to be some power. There's going to be some answered prayer. And I'm going to talk to you about the quiet time. In our generation, people are going so fast, doing so much, going so quick, that it is hard to slow down. Have you ever felt like this? I'm so busy serving the Lord that I backslide. You ever been that way? Now, you may not understand that. You've got so much to do for the Lord, you forget God. You've got so much to do in the Lord's work, you forget about the Lord you're supposed to be working for. And I don't believe God ever gives us more to do than we can do. People say, I'm bad for this. I say, well, I can't do this because I don't have time. Now, the truth is, you have time to do what God wants you to do. I don't believe the Lord says do this and do that, but I'm not going to give you time to do it. Do you? I mean, I believe God is reasonable, and God wants us to do certain things, and if God wants us to do certain things, He's going to give us time to do it. Now, we want to do a lot of things that we don't have time to do, but we have time to do everything we're supposed to do. Now, you're like me, you let the devil cheat you out of your time with the Lord. If you got a bunch of things to do and you got to shave off somewhere, 99 times out of 100, what do we shave off? That time with the Lord, right? We'll shine our shoes. We'll comb our hair. We'll brush our teeth. Next time you see somebody come in here and they look like their hair ain't been combed, they smell like they ain't had a bath, their clothes is all wrinkled, it might be they spent that time with God that you should have. They may sit on a pew by themselves, brother, but they'll have the victory. And what I'm saying tonight, ladies and gentlemen, is we'll take time for the body. How many of you have eaten? I'm working on my English. I usually say, how many of you have ate at least twice that you eat something for breakfast and you eat something for dinner or supper? You have eaten at least twice. Now, I'm talking about a bowl of cereal. I'm talking about something for breakfast. You eat something at least twice today. Raise your hand. I believe that's everybody in here. I believe. There might be two or three that did not raise their hand. Well, isn't it amazing that you found time to do that today? You worked it in there, didn't you? And I'd say most of you, and most of us, I'm sure did. Boy, we had a dinner over there today at Mrs. Camby's that was second to none. I mean to tell you, it was right. I still ain't eat a bite. I drunk water, but I ain't eat a bite since we ate over there about 1 o'clock this afternoon at church. And buddy, I mean to tell you, I just piled it in for like 25 minutes, I guess. And did you know you average feeding your face probably 45 minutes a day? And we cannot spend 15 minutes with the Lord. Just us and the Lord. Now look at Psalm 46 and verse number 10. Now there's a time when you need to implement this scripture in your life. Be still and know that I am God. Sometimes you need to just drop everything, let everything go. You say, Lord, I've got dishes, I've got... Listen, anybody that owns a house has always got something they can be doing. Well, I've got to get caught up around the house. You forget that. You can forget it. The only way you can get caught up around the house is be a millionaire and hire somebody to do all your painting and all your lawn work and all your plumbing work and all your and do everything and not do a thing yourself. Other than that, there's going to be something needs to be done. I know, brother. I know. I've got a house. I threw clothes in the washing machine last night at about 10 o'clock. And before I went to bed, I put them in the dryer. So these socks I got on right now tonight underneath these boots, I got out of the dryer this morning. And then well, I painted one of the walls in Corey's bedroom the other day. And I take out trash almost every day. I know I put some fertilizer on my grass. Dumb thing to do, but that's what you get this time of year. You'll be sorry of that in about a month. But I put fertilizer on my yard the other day. And I've got 10,000 things just around the house that need to be done. But, did you know tonight that I've kept my Bible reading up this week. I've got chapters read this week every single day except for today. I've got two more to read when I get home tonight. And I've tried every day this week to spend time with God because my time with God is more important than my lawn and my socks and my shirts. And brother, my time with God, if I lose that close fellowship with God, I've done messed up my Christian life. Every Christian needs to take time. You don't have time, ladies. You take time. You don't have time, men that work on a job. You take time to be with the Lord. You take time to be with the Lord. Somebody said, I got up early one morning and rushed right into the day. I had so much to accomplish. I didn't have time to pray. Fumbled about me, and heavier came each task. Why doesn't God help me, I wondered. He answered, you didn't ask. I tried to come to God's presence. I used all my keys at the lock. God gently and lovingly chided, why, child, you didn't knock. I wanted to see joy and beauty, but the day tolled on gray and bleak. I called on the Lord for the reason, and the Lord said, you didn't see. I woke up early this morning and paused before entering the day. I had so much to accomplish that I had to take time to pray. And you know as well as I know, if you jump up in the morning and you'll say, boy, I've got a lot to do today, and you neglect your Bible and neglect your prayer, brother, everything's going to go wrong that whole day. It seems like this goes wrong, that gets wrong. You'll say, well, I've got to hurry and get somewhere. You know what'll happen? The red lights will catch you. There'll be a wreck there. Every time you put off spending time with God, something else will happen to slow you up, and you don't get a bit more accomplished, lose your touch with God and fellowship. Anyhow, I'm giving you a little lecture tonight on it's time that you slowed up and let something go or left off something. Leave off one of your Christian duties and serve God for a little while. Amen? Amen? Now, you don't take that to mean more than I meant it. You say, hallelujah, I don't have to go to visitation. Now, I knew that'd be the first thing you'd want to give up. God bless you for being so sacrificial. I'm talking about giving up a TV show. How about that? Giving up one of them hours you're on the phone blabbing about nothing. Give up some of that time. You men, I've known some men, they don't blab on the phone and they don't watch TV. They just go out in the yard and say it. I never have figured out what anybody's out of that. I remember Daddy, he used to, if we poured some concrete around the house, I mean, we'd pour a concrete sidewalk, something like that. Now, I'm bad for this. I'm like he is on that, but he'd go out there and just sit and look at it. I mean, till dark, after dark, he'd still be sitting there looking at it. I mean, you know, you accomplish something, you want to admire it and be proud of it. But as far as just staring into outer space, man, you ought to be reading or doing something great day in the morning. I mean, you ought to be still about 15 minutes every morning and just be still and know that God is there. Heard about this fella, he hadn't been married too long. His wife hadn't learned to cook real good. And he come in the kitchen and she's just sitting there stone froze. Not moving. He looked around and, huh, what in the world wrong with her? She had a stroke or something. He looked, saw a recipe on the counter. It said, had she done something? There was something cooking on the stove. Do not stir for 15 minutes. She thought she couldn't move in the kitchen. And I'm telling you, brother, it'd be nice to quit take that attitude. It'd be nice when we get up out of the morning and instead of saying, oh, Lord, I got to get my coat on. I got to comb my hair and do this and shine my shoes and going out like that, that we just stop and say, God, talk to me. Now, boy, my legs get rabid in them. I know. They keep it in them. It's hard for me to keep my legs still. That's why I run around so much when I preach. It's just like there's something jumping in my leg. And, boy, I want to do that all the time. But it's the hardest thing I ever done to tie myself down and make myself spend time with God in prayer. You know what I'll do? I'll say, oh, Heavenly Father, my legs is wanting to go. They're wanting to go. They're wanting to go. And I'll say, oh, God, help me today. Oh, Lord, I want to do right. Oh, God. And, boy, my flesh is just wiggling and squirming. It's just like trying to get a little old kid and hold it still. It don't want to be still. But the Bible said, be still and know that I'm God. I like that song that said, I come to the garden alone while the dew is still on the roses. And the voice I hear calling out so dear, something like, the Son of God discloses, and He walks with me and talks with me and tells me I'm His own. Let me tell you something, young preachers. You know what you need? You know what you need more than another commentary? I think commentaries are okay, but I'll tell you what you need more than that. You know what you need more than maybe a trip off to hear some great preacher? And I love to go hear great preachers. You need to find a time when just you and God gets by yourself and you get in contact with the Almighty, and God talks to you and you talk to Him. There ain't nothing that can take the place of that, brother. Anybody who's ever accomplished anything for God, anybody that's ever become a soul winner, learned how to have communion with the Lord. You've heard me tell about it. The first few times I preached, it was like that, see? And buddy, I mean, it was terrible. One day I went up in the woods and I had to preach that night on Saturday night. Hadn't been preaching long, and I went up in the woods, and I got my Bible down, and I said, God, I'm not going down out of these woods till You give me something. I'm sick and tired of just getting up there, and I'm scared of people, and I feel intimidated in front of the crowd, and God, I feel like they're just beating me down, like they're winning and I'm losing. And God, help me. And boy, I stayed up there on my knees all that day and read and prayed and read and prayed and read and prayed and read and prayed. And about 3 o'clock that evening, something broke loose in my soul, and boy, it's just like God would and typed out what He wanted me to preach on right in front of my eyes. And I got up that night, something was different. When I said like this, I said, God said this, and it was just like, boom! It felt like a big bomb gone that congregation. It felt like I was intimidating them. It felt like I was winning, they was losing. It felt like you can't get out of here and be a sinner. You're going to get it before you get out of here tonight. You know what makes the difference? Brother, if you days of power with God are followed by nights of prayer to God. If a person will get right with God when they're by themselves, they'll have God's blessings and powers with them when they're out in public. I knelt to pray, but not for long. I had too much to do. Must hurry off and get to work. Bills will soon be due. And so I said a hurried prayer, jumped up off my knees. My Christian duties now were done. My soul could be at ease. All through the day I had no time to speak a word of cheer, no time to speak of Jesus to my friends. They'd laugh at me, I feared. No time, no time, too much to do. That was my constant cry. No time to give to those in need. At last, it was time to die. And when before the Lord I came, I stood with downcast eyes. Within His hands He held, look, it was the book of life. God looked into His book and said, your name I cannot find. I once was going to write it down, but I never found
the time. We think that we don't have time for God, but we sure want God to take time for us. And I want to tell you tonight how you can have a quiet time. This is not just for Sunday school teachers or preachers. It's for every single Christian in here. It's for every teenager in here. Get you a quiet time and spend it with the Lord. Every Christian needs to have. This is a secret of your Christian life. Church once a week or twice a week will not give you what you need to make it in this generation. You can't run on next Sunday morning on the tank of gas you're getting here tonight. You're going to have to get your own tank filled up during the week. As a matter of fact, if you're dependent on my preaching and our fellowship here on Sunday to keep you right with God, you can forget it. It takes a daily walk with God to stay right with the Lord. Okay, you ready? Somebody said they worked at going to the foreign field, and they said they never knew which missionary would do well on the foreign field until they got there. And the missionary that does good on the foreign field is the missionary who learns to keep himself right. See, some of those missionaries can stay right with God while they're in the United States because they can go to camp meetings and hang around other Christians and get fed off of them. But if a man, you got to have your own starter man on the mission field. You can't get it off somebody else. You gotta be able to jump yourself off. You have something inside you that says, hey, if I can't go to camp meeting, if I can't go to revival meeting, if I'm not even able to go to church, I know a place where me and the Lord can meet and God can do something for me. Stir my soul. As a matter of fact, I've had my soul stirred more by myself than I ever had in a church service. Now you may think that's weird. As a matter of fact, we come up here when we all pray together. You know when I can get my praying done? When I'm by myself. I'm still, you're just a little bit self-conscious when you're around other people. But boy, when you get by yourself, you can lay her out there. When you get by yourself, you can pour out your heart before the Lord. That's when you get right with God. All right, I'm going to give you two or three things tonight. And number one, I will say the purpose of the quiet time. The purpose of you having a quiet time is threefold. Number one, the purpose of your quiet time is that you can keep fellowship with God. Did you know that God desires to have fellowship with His children? The Lord's not playing hide and go seek with us people. He wants to have fellowship with you. How long has it been since you actually felt the Lord's presence when you were praying and reading your Bible? I tell you, it's still available. It's still available. Now what you ladies, your problem is you get on a guilt trip. And some of you men too. And you think I've messed up too much. God's tired of fooling me. Listen, you get off that junk. God loves you. You're His child. He wants to bless you. He wants to help you. He wants to fellowship you. Don't you let the devil tell you that God is through with you. If you're a child of God, He's not through with you. God wants to have fellowship with you. And the way you have fellowship with God is agree with God. And two walk together except to be agreed. Everything you read in the Bible, agree to it. Alright, God, you said God a refuge and strength, very present help in trouble, right? Amen. God, I agree with that. See, everything He says, thou sellest thy people for naught and dost not increase thy wealth by their price. Amen, Lord. Don't know what that meant, but amen. I agree with it. Everything in this, you may say, Lord, I don't maybe always live up to it. And Lord, I fail miserably and I've sinned and broken your word. But there's one thing about it. I agree with everything you've said in here. That's the way you have fellowship with God. You've got to agree with God. The Lord wants to have communion with every one of you. I'm talking by yourself. I've met people out in the street sometime and they'll say, Brother Danny, the devil beat me down, but if I can hang on till Sunday, I'll be there Sunday and I know you'll jump me off. And what I do is I'll get up here on Sunday and I take my jumper cables. And I say, alright, who needs jumping off? There's a big line of them every Sunday. And I hook them up and I say, go! Jump! Go! Jump! And they're vroom, vroom, vroom. There they go. Come in next Sunday. Put, put, put. Putting like it. Some of them come in pushing it. Now, listen, brother, I thank God the church, is a place where you can get jumped off. Thank God for the zip you can get in your soul and the house of God. That's what preaching is, just like spark plugs. It's just like putting fire on it, boy. Just boom, boy. It'll just get you going. But I tell you what you better be able to do. You better be able to get going during the middle of the week when I'm out of town or when we're not having no church services or when you're off on vacation. Can you find God by yourself? Can you get in touch with the Lord when there's nobody else around? Listen, if I was sitting here tonight and I felt like I could not get in touch with God except with a bunch of Christian brothers and sisters, I'd be real worried about myself. Brother, if you can't get in touch with God, something's wrong. Something is wrong. I'm not talking about a feeling either. I'm talking about praying and knowing God is hearing you when you pray. God desires fellowship. But then there's a second purpose for the quiet time, and that's for strength for the day. I've already said that. We're in a battle and you need strength. And the only way you're going to get this strength is keep a daily supply. Don't eat except on Sundays and see how strong you are physically. Don't eat a bite between now and next Sunday. That's the way some of you do your soul. Amen? Come in here and eat for an hour on Sunday morning and then don't eat another bite till next Sunday and then don't eat another bite till the next Sunday. You ain't going to live long. You're going to be a scrawny little old thing, all dried up and least little thing. You'll get pneumonia and die. And that's where a lot of people are spiritually. I wonder what we'd look like tonight if God just let's see each other's souls, how healthy we are. Boy, I don't see nobody in here that looks undernourished. Most of you, it wouldn't hurt you a bit. Not a bit. Me, any of you. Richard Simmons could probably do you some good. You didn't throw up looking at him. But I'm telling you tonight, brother, what if we get our soul like we do our body? What if we threw a little bone to our soul about twice a week and said, all right, here you soul. Here's a little bit of something from the table, little scraps left over. Boy, we'd be in bad shape. You need strength for the day. You know why them Iraqi soldiers surrendered they did? Brother, they was weak. They was starving. They didn't have nothing to eat. They didn't have no will to fight. They didn't have no desire. Reason a lot of God's people surrendering to the devil by the thousand and just giving up in the fight for God, their souls starving to death. They're starving to death. They never read. They never pray. They watch TV all day long and then go to a dead, dried up church where they don't hear no preaching just because grandma went there or papa went there and their soul is starving to death. I'm going to tell you what, brother. I'll tell you what, bless grandma's me. I love her, bless her heart. I'm telling you what, my angle let my soul starve to death in an old dried up place of worship where you never get nothing, never hear nothing, and you never get your soul fed, and I throw my Bible down and never read it. I want my soul to prosper. I want my soul to be healthy and be fat in the Lord. Amen. The Bible said the liberal soul shall be made fat. Amen. That's right. Amen. And so the purpose of the quiet time is strength for the day. And then the third purpose of the quiet time is systematic Bible study. In other words, you don't just come in haphazardly and grab your Bible about twice a week and say, oh well, time for me to spend a little time in God's Word. For I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee. I hope not. For I have much people in this city. Well, there's my Bible study for tonight. That's the way a lot of Christians do their Bible study. How many of you know what book in the Bible that was? Acts, heard one person say it. All right, let me give you another little quiz here. Well, here's the way some Christians... Here. Arise, shine, for thy light is come. Boy, the Lord's given me some good ones, ain't he? And the glory of the Lord is risen upon me. Hallelujah. Sounds good? For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and His glory shall be seen upon thee. Hallelujah. Amen. How many knew where that was? A little bit louder, can't hear you. Isaiah, you're right. Let me give you one more. Oh! Uh-oh. And of Dan, he said, Dan is a lion's whelp. He shall leap from Bashan. Where was that at? Right. That was the Apocrypha. No, amen. That was Deuteronomy. And brother, I tell you what, that's the way a lot of people study the Bible. Now listen, if you got a quiet time, let's see where I'm at. I know I'm in Acts because I just read. Okay, I'm in Acts chapter 4. Do you know what that means? That means now tomorrow morning, before I go anywhere, Lord willing, tomorrow morning, I usually go on Mondays, I go to the bank, run around paying bills and stuff like that. Get up in the morning, get the kids off to school, and you know, I got a lot of running around and stuff I'm going to do tomorrow, and supposed to meet the brother out to camp tomorrow evening. We're going to talk about fixing a place for the tent. I got a whole bunch of stuff to do tomorrow and everything, but it says this. Here's what I'll read tomorrow morning, Acts chapter 5. I'll start right in there. Let's see where I'm at in the Old Testament. Right here's my marker. I am in Judges chapter 20. That's tonight when I get home. Now see, now I've already come through there, and I'm going to be cruising on through there, and the Lord gives me thoughts for messages, and the Lord gives me little bit tidbits here and there, and it just seems like that it just so happens that whatever you need that day, it just so happens that that's where you're reading. You ever notice that? Now the purpose of a quiet time, if you just jump up about every two or three days and say, oh well, I'll be all read the Bible a little bit, you'll never get no like that. You'll never understand the Bible. You'll never get nothing out of the Bible. I don't believe that God just gives preachers stuff out of the Bible. I believe God can give any Christian something out. We don't, in our church, we don't have the clergy here and the laity here. It's not like preachers way up here and people way down there. Brother, everybody in here can get something from God's Word. God can give it to you. God can give you some handfuls on purpose, and that's the purpose of your quiet time. But now, let's talk secondly tonight about the time. Let's settle it. When's your time going to be? Now, whatever's best for you, it's up to you, and it's between you and the Lord. There's no certain time, but it seems. Now, this I don't always do it like this, but you can if you want to. It seems like the first thing in the morning is best. As a matter of fact, over and over and over and in the Bible, you see, where that men got up early in the morning and spent time with the Lord. In Genesis 19:27, the Bible said Abraham got up early in the morning to the place where he stood before the Lord. Abraham got early in the morning and said, before everybody else gets stirring around, I'm going to go out here to this place where I stand before the Lord. That meant Abraham was out there getting right with God before he had to face the challenges of the day and the people. If you'll spend your time with the Lord before you go to work, you might be a lot easier to get along with at work. You might be a more effective witness. Your job might go a little smoother. David said in Psalm 5:3, my voice shalt thou hear in the morning. So I've heard about great men of God, and every single one of them had about one thing in common. They would get up and pray early in the morning. People like Martin Luther, John Wesley, Charles Spurgeon, anybody who really left their tracks on this world for the glory of God, had a habit of getting up in the morning and spending time with God. I remember Jack Howell saying something one time that made so much sense. He said, I will walk with God while men sleep. I will walk with men while men are awake. I'm telling you, brother, if we want to minister to men while they're awake, we better get right with God while men are asleep. And sometimes it's hard. Sometimes it's hard. And I'll deal with that in just a moment. But it seems like that early in the morning is the time to pray. No time to pray. That's our problem. You've got time for everything else. Defog the windshield. Make your coffee. Do everything else. But not time to pray. And if you'll do this, it'll transform your Christian life. Now let me say, also tonight, right quickly. Next, I'm going to talk about the material. Here's what you need for your quiet time. This is very simple. Any dummy ought to know this. But I'm going to give it to you anyway, okay? There's three things that you need for a quiet time. Number one, of course, you need your Bible. I don't even recommend a bunch of other books. It's all right to read other books, but if you're too tempting, the devil would rather you read another book than he had the Word of God. Listen, our daily bread and some of that stuff, that's good, but that shouldn't be a source of spiritual food. You ought to get in the book, brother. Get in the book. But get in the book. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God, doth man live. I can tell you which one of these kids up here in this youth choir will make it, and which will backslide. Them that learn to read the Bible and pray will make it, and the rest of them will quit. You mark it down. The devil will get them out of here
the history, brother. You cannot make it just going to sing on Friday night. You cannot make it just turning on the TV preacher every now and then. You can't make it just listening to the McKinney or the Inspiration tape. You've got to read the Bible and pray to stay right with God. Listen, you need the Bible. Read it faithfully. Several 15 minutes a day, maybe. And then you need a book. A notebook. Cheap little notebook. They probably got them over in a bookstore for 50 cents. And you keep it with your Bible, or it gets about the size of your Bible like this. And if God gives you something, write it down. Brother Ed Magby used to. When you go hear a preacher preach, and God gives you something out of the book, you say, man, that's good. I'm going to remember that. And about halfway to work, you'll say, what was that the Lord gave me long ago? You ever done that? You can't remember it in an hour. And he said, I found out, he said, the devil can sweep through and he can get them thoughts out of your mind, but the devil can't chew paper. So you write it down, buddy, and you've got it. Write it down. God give you something, write it down. You say, now, Lordy mercy, you're condemned as that preacher. If I start that stuff, the Lord might call me to preach. Well, what'd be wrong with that? We're just coming here. Come and join. Hey, I heard about a preacher not long ago, and he's up, and he's talking about he's staying in a motel. He knows about this. And, you know, people's always nudging a preacher. I've had a few smart little comments, you know. This pastor preaching, Lord, God, it's mad. You go, blah, blah, blah. I said, you come down here and surrender to preaching. I knew you won't say, go start your church. Amen? Well, if we got it made, why don't you start? Getting quiet on me. But there's some guilty looking faces out there. This preacher, he's preaching a meeting somewhere, and he said he went down to his motel and he said he turned that air conditioning down on blizzard. He said he laid back and put a big old half gallon of ice cream on his bed. He said he put that air conditioning on and just sat there in a few minutes. Put a big spoonful of that ice cream. His voice took his heart. And everybody said, I'm going to lay down. Preachers all laid their way. And then he said, anybody wants to ring me? Come on down here and sing to the preacher. Nobody will. Next time you start running your mouth about how easy the preacher is, ask yourself a question. If it's easy, why aren't you doing it? The truth is, you want all the benefits, you don't want the knock. Amen? I want to tell you this. I say this because I'm a preacher. If a preacher does his job, he ain't ever buying me gift. Take it from me, man. I know what I'm talking about. You're talking about driving you nuts, buddy. If you keep your sanity, it's a miracle from God. Oh, yes, he preach every Sunday. Woo! Are you dumb? Boy!
You wouldn't believe it. You wouldn't believe the stuff you get into. I don't know how I got off on all that. Oh, yeah, that's your notebook. Keep your notebook and write that thing down. If God gives you something, write it down. And then, of course, that's a place to put your prayer list. See? That's your third thing you need, is a prayer list. Because if you don't have a prayer list, you start praying, oh, God, and you don't know what to say. Well, you got that prayer list. That's why them little things we got, the church directories, good prayer list. Everybody's picture ain't in there. But some of them's in the back, but their picture's not in there. Go over that thing and go over that thing and pray. All right, let me give you some suggestions right quick, and I'm going to hurry and close. Next, I'm going to give you some suggestions. Suggestion number one, try to prevent becoming mechanical. Try to prevent becoming mechanical. Here's the bad thing about your flesh. Once you finally beat it into subjection, then it goes about the thing mechanical, and you still don't know nothing get nothing out of it. See what I'm saying? Like I start in Judges tomorrow, and I'm in Judges chapter 20, or not rather, and I'm thinking about something else, you know. And I'm thinking, then all the children of Israel went out, and the congregation was gathered together as one man from Dan to Eden, Beersheba, and the handgun will get out unto the Lord in Mizpah. Boy, I felt guilty about that before and made myself go back and read it again, ain't you?
Just kind of felt guilty. It's my flesh just trying to hurry up and get it over with. And I think, what good's this doing if I'm just rushing through it and I ain't even paying attention? I see a lot of guilty faces right here tonight nodding. Well, try to prevent becoming mechanical. I mean, at least try to keep becoming mechanical. Number two, don't be rigid. Don't be rigid. Now, what I mean by that is, don't think you have to do a certain way. See, I don't want to box myself in too much because God might get a hold of me tomorrow and want me to read something else. Now, I'm going to get my other reading done by the help of God, but don't be so mechanical. Okay, here's what I'm saying. Say you set aside 10 minutes before you go to pray. Let's just say that. And you say, "Dear God, help me. Dear God, you'd help me today, God." And I pray, and all of a sudden God gets in that thing. And you really get plugged in. And boy, you just start going around the world. You're praying for everybody. And boy, you're getting plugged in. You say, "Oh! Time to pray and quit. Gotta go." See? You get too rigid. If you get plugged in, forget your prayer list, forget your reading, stay with it, man. If you ever get a hold of Him, don't let go. If He gets a hold of you just right, but when you hit the glory line and the pipeline opens up and you know you're getting through it, you're praying in the Holy Ghost, and God just, you know what I'm talking about, don't you? When it gets like that, forget your time. I mean, forget your schedule, forget your plan. That plan's just for all them days you don't have that. When you get plugged in, forget your plan. And buddy, them days when you get plugged in like that, so few and far between, you'd about be better off forget work and everything else. All right? If you're reading a verse of Scripture and light hits on that verse of Scripture, have you ever done this? And God really gives you something good out of a verse, but you say, and you want to hurry up and get through reading, so you go on. It might be the Lord might want you to just stop and run some references and go back and forth and get to squeeze the juice out of the verse. Don't be so rigid that you just box God in where you can't get nothing. All right? Here's a suggestion. Here's a way to carry it out. Try it like this. Try in this order: prayer, Bible reading, then prayer. In other words, that's what I always do. I always pray first, then I read the Bible, then I pray again. I don't know why. I don't know why. I believe that's best. I believe first thing, when you pray, you're talking to God. When you read, He's talking to you. Then when you pray, you're talking back to Him. So He said, "God, tell me something today." And the Lord tells you something. Then you talk to Him about it and thinking. So try it like that. Pray a little bit first, then stop, then get in the Word, and run some references and dig, and then pray again. Then, the next suggestion, number four. Use the Scripture that you read in your praying. Now that comes natural, but I thought I might ought to mention that. Sometimes just the Scripture you read might be the Scripture you need. Okay, listen. "For Thou art my lamp, O Lord, and the Lord will lighten my darkness." Oh God, Lord, I thank You. You're my lamp today. See, I'm using the verse that I read in my prayer. Did you know the more scriptural you make your prayers, seem like the more faith you can have to believe that God will honor them? Because you're praying the same thing them fellas did, son. You know you're bound to be getting somewhere. God led David to write them psalms like he wrote them. Listen to this. "For by thee I have run the truth. By my God have I leaped over a wall." See them soldiers over in Saudi Arabia? "For by thee I have run through a troop." See? You can pray what you read. And then this. For example, if you read about a certain sin, confess that thing for a little while. About pride, maybe. Jealousy. Gossip. Lust. Envy. Whatever it is. If you're not, "Oh God, Lord, I believe You're wanting to work on me about that. God, get that junk out of my heart. God, I don't want that to hinder me. Oh God, oh God." See? Pray it. Confess your sin. His command. Maybe God's commanding you. An error. A promise. Maybe God's give you a promise in what you read. Claim that promise. "I'll be with you. I'll never leave you nor forsake you." Claim. Use what you read in your prayer. And then the last suggestion is, use the Word of God for a basis of your prayer and petition. You've got a lot more chance of getting your prayers answered if your prayers are Bible-based prayers. Instead of praying, "God, give me a new car. God, give me..." You know, I mean,
pray Bible-based prayers. Old Solomon come over here one time, and he could ask anything he wanted. And you know what he asked for? He said, "Lord, I want you to give me wisdom to do the right thing." And the Lord said, "You could have asked for riches and honor and glory, but you didn't. You asked for wisdom. So I'm going to give you what you asked for, wisdom, and I'm going to throw in the boot what you didn't ask for, riches and honor. So if you'll ask God for what He wants you, He'll give you the car, the house, the clothes, or whatever else you need." Amen? All right. Now, the last thing I'm going to say tonight, the last part is problems. I know some of you are all stirred up tonight and you can't wait to get out of here. You're going to go home tonight, and boy, before you go to bed, you're going to have you a quiet time and you're going to see if all this works. Or you say, "Boy, I'm going to set my clock 15 minutes earlier in the morning. Or I'm going to go down and get me a temporary in my hair. I won't have to comb it every morning." That's right. And that'll cut out. They call them permanents. They're lying to you. If it's permanent, you would never have to have it again. Amen. Amen. Not to be so technical, Brother Danny. I don't know. I'm just made that way. Go get you a temporary. And that's spend that time with the Lord, man. Spend that time with the Lord. Spend it with the Lord. Here's your problems. Problem number one. The devil will try to stop you. I mean, he'll try everything. He will lay it on the heart of some demon to call you. Buddy, I don't know. This might be some of y'all did this. I was down on my knees praying for the service this evening. My phone rung 40 times. So if my phone kept ringing, whoever you was, I believe the devil led you to do that. It's about 5 o'clock, and I was praying, and the devil said, "You better answer that phone. It might be important." And it seemed like the Lord said, "Well, ain't I more important?" And I believe that. You'll never be able to be right with God if you learn to say no to some things. And the phone rang again, and I couldn't stand it. I was praying. I said, "Oh, God, bless our service tonight. God, please help them tonight. Lord, please help." God, please. And the devil, boy, he was working on me, saying, "What if one of your kids has got hurt? Because Crystal went home with a little girl over here, and said, what if she's got hurt, and they're trying to call you? Or what if this? What if that?" And I said, "Oh, shut up! If she is hurt, there ain't nothing I can do about it. I will not, by the help of the Lord, try to let the devil just ruin it. And by the way, he'll always have something else you need to be doing. Y'all see my bedroom right now. You would die from it. There is papers where I've been studying. It's all over. My bed has not been made up today. I hate slob, man. I hate being a slob. But I'll get it done tonight. See? Preaching's over with. You ought to see it. It looks horrible. It looks awful. I wouldn't even let y'all come in it right now. I told my mom, I said, "You stop right here at the steps. You don't come in my room." But she'd die if you went in there. But I tell you what, I've been keeping it. They've been doing a little better. But you know what? The devil says, "Boy, you slob, you, why don't you clean this room up?" And I said, "Because I want the Lord to bless me at church." See? The devil will try to stop you. And then the next problem you're going to have is sleep. Boy, that sleep is sweet of the morning. Oh, brother. Oh, man, you get them toothpicks out. And you say, "Get out of bed." And your flesh says, "Nothing doing." Hey, you have to get up by alarm clock. What time does your alarm clock go off? 15 to what? 15 to 5. Bless your heart, Judy. I'm going to start letting out a little earlier. I feel sorry for you. 15 to 5. Have you ever noticed that you toss and turn about all night long? You think, "Oh, I can't get to sleep. I can't get to sleep." And you wake up and you look out and you see if it's starting to get light or something. And you think, "I wonder what time it is. Oh, no, surely I got a little while." And by the time you get sleeping real good, that stupid clock, it'll go off every time.
Boy, you reach over and hit that little button. Gives you 15 more minutes. There went your prayer time. There went your prayer time.
Well, I mean, I'm not saying you have to do it. Maybe you do it at night. The good thing about doing it of the day is, of the morning is, you've got the power of the Lord to fight your battles all day. Ain't no use getting the power of God then going to sleep. I mean, you know what I mean? So, it really makes more sense. It really makes more sense. Unless you've had a big fuss with your husband or wife or something, you might need to get right and have another Bible study before you go to bed. But it makes more sense to do it in the morning. But personally, I'm more alert at night than I am in the morning. Boy, I have a rough time with it in the morning. I can sleep and then get up and start reading the Bible doing like this. I read the same verse 4 or 5 times. I forget where I was at. I get mad. Where was I at? Number 12. Why hast thou then broken down her hedges, so that all they which, by the way, do pluck her? And I don't even know what I'm reading or nothing. And finally I say, this is some quiet time I'm having. This ain't doing me a bit of good. Now the devil will use that on you. Sleep. You get sleepy. Another thing, problem is you think of all the things that you need to be doing. You think of a million things need to be done. And then there's one more thing, like your yard. Your grass ain't mowed. Many, you've heard me, I mowed grass at dark a couple of years ago. I got me a lawnmower, had headlights on that thing. And I was out there mowing in the dark, man. I was trying to be running around during the day. And then there's one more problem. This is especially for you ladies, and that's the kids. That's the kids. Most women serve God real good till they have kids, and then they ain't worth a dime in the service of God. They some of you, your kid's 5 years old, and you ain't sat through one sermon in 5 years. I mean, and I feel sorry for you. Bless your heart. You really need a... I believe the Lord give you extra blessing, but did you know tonight that your kids can cause you to backslide? And you need to plan. They said Susanna Wesley raised them 19 kids, wound up raised 17 of them, and still found time to get right with God and counsel with each one of them and spend time with each one of them individually every week. As one little girl come to the door, and somebody come to visit Mama, and she said, Mama can't talk to you right now. She's praying. Mama went in the closet every like from 10 to 10:30 every morning and prayed, brother, and didn't answer the phone and didn't answer the door and didn't fool with nobody. That was a smart mama. It might be that you jump up, get their breakfast done, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, and get your run around done, get your housework done, and about 1 o'clock in the afternoon, sit down and have your quiet time with the Lord. You say, well, Brother Danny, I've got kids. And they're running through the house of the morning, they're running through the house of the evening, and I have to work a job, and then it's homework, and then it's supper, and then it's dishes, and by the time I get through with all that, I'm dead. How can I have any time with God? I don't know, but you better shave something off somewhere. I promise you tonight, you'll regret it if you don't shave something off and spend some time with God. Put them to bed early or something. Get up 15 minutes earlier than they do. Most of you could leave off a TV program too, and it would solve your problems easy. There are some of you probably in here that have such a busy schedule you don't even take time for anything. I promise you, if you'll make time for God, He'll bless you for it. Okay? All right, let's stand and bow our heads and we'll pray and go. Amen. Brother John, let's sing something. I don't know, whatever you pick out, and we'll go. You don't have to come to the altar tonight. You can if you want to. But it might be that you just have to right there. You stand tonight and make a choice. Make some choices. And be a responsible adult and all that stuff. And make some choices. And you're going to say, all right, Lord, beginning tomorrow morning or beginning tonight, I'm going to take time to be still and know that you're God. You say, oh, preacher, I've tried it before and I don't get nothing out of it. Well, it's just like lifting weights. You do it 1 or 2 days, you don't think it's done you no good. But over a period of months or something, your muscles start building. And you can get strength in the Lord.
You can be a much sweeter Christian and a much more effective witness and have the and stay away from sin more too, by the way, if you'll spend time with the Lord. Dear Lord, do something for us tonight as a church. Do something for us as individuals. Put a burden on hearts to pray, especially for these special things coming up, like Easter and the youth rally and youth Sunday and all that stuff. Lord, help us to have a special burden to pray. But dear God, help us to have a regular time that we walk with You and talk with You, and You tell us that we're Yours. Do it for Jesus' sake. Help that Christian that's been struggling, that mother that's so busy. Help that daddy that seems like got a million things to do and never gets caught up, to take time out to be with You, with You. Help that teenager that's dating. Help that college student, Lord, maybe that's so busy. Help that granddaddy, Lord, that's tied up and still working. God, there's many people here with many different needs. Help them tonight, Lord, to work it out in their life. Put You first. In Jesus' name we pray, and for His sake, amen.